From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled, The Price and Privilege of Serving Christ, part of his series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 18 and verse 7. With the conquest of the land of Canaan having been completed, the various tribes of Israel were given their portions by lot. But the tribe of Levi did not receive land. Our text in verse 7 says, But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. As Dr. Cairns has explained, the Levites represented the soul of the nation. Their presence among the children of Israel was to be a constant lesson that the most important of all the nation's blessings was not material, but spiritual. Because of the necessary activities of settling the land, there was always the danger that Israel would forget the Lord. This same situation applies to God's people in every age. In the pursuit of daily responsibilities, Christians must maintain close fellowship with God through Bible reading and prayer. Also, the believers must make sure that their influence upon others, especially upon their families, is godly. Then, as the Levites had a special duty that only they could perform, believers must realize that God has given differing gifts to His people, and that each one is important in the Lord's service. Furthermore, God calls some people to serve Him in a special way, just as the Levites were divinely appointed to be the spiritual leaders in Israel. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for today is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Light might well be good, since it sprang from that fiat of goodness, let there be light. We who enjoy it should be more grateful for it than we are, and see more of God in it and by it. Light physical is said by Solomon to be sweet. But gospel light is infinitely more precious, for it reveals eternal things and ministers to our immortal natures. When the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual light and opens our eyes to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we behold sin in its true colors and ourselves in our real position. We see the most holy God as He reveals Himself, the plan of mercy as He propounds it, and the world to come as the Word describes it. Spiritual light has many beams and prismatic colors, but whether they be knowledge, joy, holiness, or life, all are divinely good. If the light received be thus good, what must the essential light be, and how glorious must be the place where He reveals Himself? O Lord, since light is so good, give us more of it, and more of Thyself, the true light. No sooner is there a good thing in the world, then a division is necessary. Light and darkness have no communion. God has divided them. Let us not confound them. Sons of light must not have fellowship with deeds, doctrines, or deceits of darkness. The children of the day must be sober, honest, and bold in their Lord's work, leaving the works of darkness to those who shall dwell in it forever. Our churches should by discipline divide the light from the darkness, and we should, by our distinct separation from the world, do the same. In judgment, in action, in hearing, in teaching, in association, we must discern between the precious and the vile, and maintain the great distinction which the Lord made upon the world's first day. O Lord Jesus, be Thou our light throughout the whole of this day, for Thy light is the light of men.
Creator of the moon and the stars.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
remember the lesson of the Levites, the most important of our blessings are not material but spiritual. There's a second lesson. That is that the Lord obviously calls different people to different types and spheres of service. All Israel were the people of God. All Israel were called to serve the Lord. There wasn't a tribe that wasn't there to serve the Lord. But each tribe's place and each tribe's type of service was unique. And we see that most clearly in the case of the Levites. I think of the New Testament counterpart of this. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, and then picking it up at verse 11, we read, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, the Lord didn't make everybody an apostle. He didn't make everybody a prophet, nor everybody an evangelist, nor everybody a pastor teacher. He made some people those things. At most, he left as the body of the saints in the church, not as something lesser, not as something of meaner importance or significance. I want you to understand this. We can hardly grasp it. We have got into the cult of man so much today. The preacher in the pulpit, in ultimate terms, is no more important than any saint in the pew. Now, it's not to say there's no distinction in calling or no distinction in sphere of service. There obviously is. But a preacher without a people is a preacher no longer. A pastor without sheep is a shepherd no longer. The church is not made up of the man in the pulpit. The Roman Catholic Church has fostered that notion that the clergy are the church and you out there, you're just the faithful. More like the fools. But that's not the way it is in the Bible. The church is the body of God's people. Now, out of that body, there are some appointed to particular forms of service. Paul told the church at Rome, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Let's stop there for a moment. I'm very glad we have that. There are things that I must confess I don't feel any gift or ability to do. But there are others in this church who have those gifts in abundance. Be a poor church if it were dependent entirely on me. We have gifts differing according to what? The grace that is given. You see, the person who's proud of his gifts, I wonder really if he has much of a gift at all. I wonder if he even knows much about the Lord. I've known people, especially young people, and this is why the Bible, of course, tells you don't promote somebody to eldership when they're still novices, because it will blow their head up with pride. I've known young people, young men, to think because of an ability to speak publicly, they were great preachers. And they became as proud as peacocks. What utter idiocy. There's not a place in the world should make a man more humble than to stand behind this desk. The gifts we have are gifts of grace. So what do we do with them? Well, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait in our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You see the list of gifts? You know, most of those, or many of those, wouldn't even figure in most churches' idea of important gifts. Oh, we can see the prophesying, the preaching. We can see the ministering, because we think of that as pulpit ministry. But ministering is simply serving. That's all it is, serving. Do we think on being a servant to others as much of a gift? Exhorting others, encouraging others? Do we think of that as being much of a gift? And yet when you look back at the early church, is there a more attractive character in all the early church than Barnabas, the son of consolation, or the son of exhortation? He was the great encourager. I love to read about Barnabas. Wherever he went, Barnabas was there to build people up. He was there to strengthen them. He was there to get them looking in the right direction, pointing them in the service of God. When you met with Barnabas, you were stronger to serve God than before you met him. That's a great gift, to be an encourager. You don't meet with it too often in the church nowadays. You're more likely to run into church and see somebody giving you a look that's so grim it would turn buttermilk sour. Isn't it true? We have reached the stage, especially in our fundamental churches, and I say especially here, because being fundamental in believing this Bible is true, and we hold the doctrines of it with such tenacity, and that's a good thing. We tend to be always ready to jump on everything and everybody we can. Anybody that we don't see eye to eye with, it's bang, critics, criticize them, shoot them down right away. And that attitude is so pervasive in our churches that it appears when we come among God's people, we're more ready to look for a fault. We're more ready to correct than we are to encourage. Now, sometimes there's need of correction. But I want to tell you, even that is normally best done in a way that encourages. I pray God to give us the gift of encouraging God's people. He that giveth. We had the offering a little while ago. I wonder, did you think anything much about it? It's a gift from God to be able to give. Of all the people I have ever known, I've never seen anybody in whom that gift was more beautifully displayed than in my mother-in-law. Normally, you know, you tell bad stories about mothers-in-law. And I used to give mine a hard time, but we were really great friends. She was never rich in this world's goods, although she always had more than enough. She knew how to save, and she knew how to give. She would give and give and give. Nobody would ever know it. It was always so quietly done, as nearly anonymously as could be done. But it was done for the Lord. And it was done as a service to Christ. That is a gift. The church is benefited not just by the money, but by the Holy Spirit. We have all our different gifts. We have all our different places. The message is, wherever the Lord has placed you, whatever gift He has given you in that place, He intends you to employ it to the fullest of your time and ability for the glory of His name. And then, there is one final thought. That is that the Lord calls some people to serve Him in a very special way. The Levites were special. They were different. That didn't make them any better, as you'll see in the subsequent history of Israel. But they were nonetheless different. They were called to spiritual leadership. This is the mark of a living assembly of God's people. You look at Acts chapter 13, where you've got a beautiful picture of the functioning of the church in Antioch. As they ministered to the Lord in prayer and fasting, the Lord, by His Spirit, said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the ministry to which I have called them." That's always the mark of a church that's a living witness for Christ. That God is going to come and He's going to put His hand on certain men and women and say, "I want these people for specific and special service." Especially as we think of the young men in this church. I want you to know that while you're pursuing the various occupations of life, keep this in mind. There will be young men among you upon whom God is going to place His hand and say, "I want you not to be a shopkeeper or a surgeon or a lawyer or an accountant or a factory worker or whatever. I want you for service. And I'm deliberately giving you the full breadth because I'm not merely talking about the highly intellectual. I'm saying God comes and He puts His hand on people and says, I want you for special service." He can use the highly intellectual. He can use those who have practically no intellect at all.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.